It's great to be here. And like I wrote here on the notes, it's an honor to be able to do the very first Bible study class of 2018 at New Life Global Church. It's a real privilege. I've been out of commission for about a year, and we won't get into that. But anyhow, it's with Dad passing away and everything, and Mom and I, we just celebrated on the 18th his first year anniversary of entering glory. So we had a good time on that day, Mom. Hey, we celebrated his going into heaven and seeing his daughter after her being gone for 4 years. So anyhow, I'm not only am I back on track, but I'm back for the attack. So it's also an honor to be able to share with all of you tonight some of my personal insights regarding this vital topic that we're going to look into tonight. Obviously, you can tell the key topic tonight is the Bible, how to and why study the Word of God. So, in my experiences in the last 23 years, I've discovered that most Christians that I meet are, they don't study much the Word. Actually, a lot of them, they don't even bother studying the Word for some silly reason. I was going to use the word stupid, I'll use silly, but hey, I got it out there anyhow. So, for some silly reason, they don't study the Word of God, so I don't know if it's not being really promoted in the local churches they're part of or whatever. But what happened was on Monday when Apostle Emmanuel came by to my house and we looked at the studies and all that, he was going to start on the topic of salvation. And then I said, well, if we're going to teach on salvation, maybe we need to teach on what we're saved from, which is basically sin, judgment, all that. So I said, well, then he said, maybe we should start on sin. Yeah. So I said, well, if we're going to teach on sin, maybe we should teach on the fall of man, because if it wasn't for the fall of man, there would be no sin. So he said, oh my goodness. So I said, I know, well, that's just the way it works, right, with the Word. So I said, and really, I said, you know, I've been wanting to talk to you about for quite some time is that I think you need to put more emphasis on people doing their homework during the week, Bible study, stuff like that. So he said, well, why don't we start with that as our first class? So he said, why don't you do it? So I said, wow, it'd be an honor for me to do that because I love it, because I've been doing it for almost 22 years. Basically, it's my life. And if anybody know you, you know the library I got at home and the notes and blah, 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 blah. And I don't say that to impress anybody. I'm just saying it's something that God has done with me for what I'm doing now, not only here, but other places. So anyhow, pre-introduction on page one is, okay, A, we already covered that. B, I believe that how and why to study the Word of God is also called self-discipleship. Now, I'm not against discipleship in the sense of getting together and doing what we're doing and other things. Of course not. But I believe in self-discipleship, discipling yourself. If you wait on everybody else to disciple you, you know what? You're not going to grow very much. You know, so God got on me years ago about self-discipleship through a preacher that I heard. And it really ministered to me and he gave me the grace. The grace was there, the whole thing. The grace is all there for all of us. We just got to tap into it by faith. So anyhow, self-discipleship, C, I also call it the school of the Spirit. When you give yourself over to, I mean, this is just in a nutshell what I'll be teaching tonight. I want to keep it short. But basically, I call this the school of the Spirit, where you give, I'm going to touch on this a little bit, where you give all kinds of opportunity for the Holy Spirit to teach you a lot of things that you would not get in maybe on a Sunday morning service or even Wednesday night Bible class, you know, or even watching good Christian TV or whatever, if there's anything good out there, there is, but anyhow. Some things I need to keep my mouth shut. Number D is feeding and nourishing yourself spiritually. We need to nourish and feed ourselves. We just have to. I'm going to touch on this too a little bit. I think in E here, we need to be taught on how to be feeding ourselves spiritually, one spoonful at a time, I wrote here. No pun intended, at a time, just as we needed to be taught by our parents on how to feed ourselves in the natural once we began to grow up physically, going from spiritual, I call it spiritual palate, or spiritual milk, to spiritual meat. Imagine this. I got this, I was thinking about this this morning, getting prepared for this. Imagine this, a baby who's sitting there, and he's totally, or she's totally dependent on mom and dad to feed them. Not only to feed them, but to cook the food. Imagine that. And imagine if we didn't feed them, okay? So that's fine, so we feed them, right? So, but once, after a while, this has been a long time, I'm 54, so I'll be 55 in a few months. So this has been a while. But imagine if that child was not taught how to feed himself. And he depended on mom and dad to feed him. Well, you know, mom and dad will come to a place like, feed yourself. I got other things to do. It's time to grow up. Okay? And this is what this is all about. It's time to grow up. All of us, including me. I got ways to go. I got ways to go in some areas. You know? So, anyhow, so the verse that came to me this afternoon, actually I wrote this page today, this first page, I had the other stuff done yesterday. What I wrote here is, you got that one there, sister? 1 Corinthians? 3:1-3. And what I'm gonna do for when I'm gonna do some teachings here this year, I wanna give lots of time, I wanna have people read the verses, but since I'm doing videos and stuff, I don't know how I'm gonna work that out. Because, today I'm going to read the verses today anyhow. So here, verse 1, however, brethren, I could not talk to you as to spiritual men. Well, the word men there is no gender in the Greek, so it's men and women. And it's also added by the Amplified, it's just to spiritual. But as to non-spiritual, men of the flesh, in whom the carnal nature predominates, as to mere infants, is that what I just said? In the new life, in Christ, unable to talk yet. Verse 2, I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you are not yet strong enough to be ready for it. But even yet, you're not strong enough to be ready for it. This is really amazing. Paul expected them to be grown up to a certain degree. He expected them. He did. If he said this, I mean, if they had grown up, he would have never said this. Okay, so you know what? I mean, I have freedom to say some of these things here because Pastor Emmanuel says them. So if he didn't say these kinds of things, I wouldn't say it. But he says it. He's very upfront. He's very blunt. You know, the church is full of this stuff. It really is, and that's why we're not getting any work done in this earth overall. We're just not getting any work done. You know, and that's got to change. And so, verse 3: For you are still unspiritual, having the nature of the flesh under the control of ordinary impulse. I write a lot about the old man. And I would say that, I don't know the percentage, God alone knows the exact percentage, but I would say 80% of the church operates out of the old man and not the new man. Because they don't know how to put off the old man. But that's gonna be, it's gonna be different over here. For as long as there are envying and jealousy and wrangling and factions among you, are you not unspiritual and of the flesh, behaving yourselves after a human standard, and like mere unchanged men? Dave Robertson said this. He said, you know what? He said, let's just be honest with it. He says, I meet two people. One's born again. The other one's not born again. He says, once the atheist is sick and the Christian is sick. Well, the Christian is supposed to be healed because by his stripes he's healed, right? So the atheist is living in sin. And the sinner is living in sin. That's normal. Okay, that's his nature. But then you've got the saint who's living in sin, but he's born again. He's part of the divine, he's a partaker of the divine nature. He's not supposed to be sinning anymore, overall. You know what I mean? So there's something wrong with that. If you're sinning habitually, you're living out of the old man. Because there's no sin in the new man. There's none. Because Christ is the new man. Right? Yeah? Are we doing okay here? Yeah? Okay, good. So, anyhow, let's move on to page 2 here. It says, my first one was my pre-introduction. So this is my introduction here. I wrote here, number 1, private Bible study, which also includes much prayer. This is very important here, okay? I'm going to touch on that after. It's all about when and where you set some time apart from everything else in your busy day or night in order to invest in your walk with God, as well as investing in yourself, so that you will have some valuable contribution to add to your local church, as well as adding to the overall body of Christ, wherever that may be, in your city, in your region, in your province, in your nation, across the world. You've got to have something to add. You've got to have something to contribute. Okay? It's very important, okay? And I wrote here, much prayer. I don't want to touch on prayer tonight, but I included much prayer because I've discovered, since I started studying a lot, I've discovered that my praying in tongues enhanced my study time. It enhanced it. It enhanced the revelation that came from the one who lives on the inside of me. It just enhanced it. I didn't pray in tongues while I was studying. You can. But I prayed in tongues so much before and after and at work and on, in the car and walking the parks and blah, 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 blah. At least I got one laughing anyhow. So anyhow, so oh, I got a more laughing now. Oh, I got them all laughing now. Great. Hallelujah. All right. So anyhow, I encourage you to pray in tongues before you start studying. While you're studying, whatever, you don't have to pray out loud, just pray under your breath, whatever, and get into the Word and get into some of these things we're going to look at tonight. Okay, so number two, private Bible study, which also includes much prayer, emphasis again, is also a time where you enable God, there He is, where you enable God, the Holy Spirit, who resides within you, I just said that. Wow. Okay. To personally reveal to you your place within the body of Christ regarding your giftings and their functions. You know that with your giftings comes functions. Okay? That's very important that we need to understand that. So that you can build upon these, meaning your giftings and your functions, adding so much more to your contribution to your local or your home church that you're a part of. Very important. Very important. We are supposed to, all of us are supposed to contribute to the local body that we're part of. If you're not contributing, then we're going to help you with that. And if you don't want help, then you're probably in the wrong place. And I'm saying that because he's already said it. So, anyhow. Number three, private Bible study, which also includes much prayer, I reiterate that, is also a time when you take what you've learned in these Bible study classes and you become grounded and established in the Word of God regarding the topics that are being taught. I'll tell you, I am not lying. I would spend months on one topic years ago. I would take the word sin, I'd get my concordances out, I'd get my Greek and Hebrew dictionaries out, and I would just do a huge study on sin. And then I would do a huge study on the word judgment. Then I would do a huge study on sanctification. I did that, all my notes at home. I still have got my old notes. I'm printing them out right now, and it's my little theological tome. You know what a tome is? T-O-M-E. You know, it's where I go for my notes. Everything's in alphabetical order. Okay, if I want to find something on sin, I go under S, and I've got sin and different topics. Sanctification, it's all under S, from A to Z. That's what I do. And you know what? Believe it or not, I never had anybody tell me that. I never had anybody tell me to do that. I just know the Lord inspired to, for me to do that years ago, and it's part of the calling, but also it's there inside of me to help others do it too. But we can't do it for you. Like Pastor Emmanuel said the other day, he says, I'm not going to go home and sleep in the house to see if they're studying or not. I said, I know, but we can put up cameras, though, can't we? We do have cameras today. We do have satellite dishes, don't we? Yeah, but I guess that would be invasion of privacy or something like that, so, okay. All right, so here, number four. We okay here?
Yeah.
Number four, investing in a good, exhaustive concordance. Okay. I love this stuff here. Exhaustive concordance. They're big. I love big books. I hate little books. But anyhow, I like big books. I love little books if they're good. Anyhow, so this is a strong, expanded, exhaustive concordance of the Bible. I've got about five of these, just Strong's, because sometimes they change them over the year and stuff like that. Anyhow, these are cheap. I mean, I think you can get one of these for $40, shipping, with shipping and all that. You know what? I studied the life of Mr. Strong, James Strong's, years ago. And this man, it took him 120 guys. This is back in the 1800s where they wrote everything by hand. It took him 120 guys years to put this book together. And I heard a prophecy a few years ago. And God said that my church is going to be accountable for not using this stuff that I've made available to the church. We are. We're going to give an account. This makes the Bible study really easy. Really easy. Okay? So, okay.
Sorry. Is it questions?
Can we ask now? Not yet. No. Okay. I'm doing a... As well as a good Hebrew and Greek English text or dictionary. So here, we've got... These are the two of the, well, vines. Everybody knows about vines. Everybody should have a Strong's in their home. First thing I check, usually when I go in people's homes, but don't happen too often, I check out their library. And I don't like what I see, because a lot of times they don't even have a library. Okay? So anyhow, a Strong's Concordance, vines. This is cheap. You can get one for these, $10 American, I think. American. So let's say $25 with shipping. Okay, there's tons of stuff in here. Greek and Hebrew in here. This one here, this is one of my favorites. This is Mr. Zadiades. And this guy was actually a Greek. He comes from Greece. He passed away a few years ago. He actually started AMG Publishers. And this is one of the best dictionaries on the market. I've got, I don't know how many dictionaries, Greek dictionaries at home. And I would say this is the one of the best ones. This one's got antonyms, synonyms. What else does it got in here? Yeah, antonyms, synonyms, derivatives, where the Greek word comes from. This, I'll tell you, this will get you out of watching TV, you know.
What's that book called?
This is the complete word study. We'll tell you after.
Oh, okay.
If you want one of these, don't worry. I'll be at your apartment. This is the complete word study dictionary for a deeper understanding of the word. Okay? This is great stuff. And they have an Old Testament one, too, written by another guy. I think his name's Baker. Not Jimmy Baker. Anyhow, and this is the Greek text I was telling you about. This is one of the best Greek texts available. This is based upon the Received Text. This was put together by J.P. Green. He just passed away a couple years ago. It's great. It's got a Greek. It's got his own translation in here, English translation. He's got the Greek. He's got the Greek, and he's got the Strong's numbers on top. I mean, if you can't understand some of these books after a while, you know what? I'll tell you. I don't know. You need to get born again. So, anyhow, this is great stuff to add to what I said here. Also, alongside a multitude of different versions and translations, as well as paraphrases. I'm not too big on paraphrases, but there's a few good ones out there. But translations, versions, I mean, some of them are not as good as others, but sometimes they catch something another one doesn't catch, and it really makes your Bible study really exciting, and it makes it, time goes real quick. A couple hours will go by real fast, and it'll get you out of trouble too. Meaning it'll get you out of sin. Okay? And we're going to touch on that tonight. All right? So, okay, can help immensely, adding so much more to your time of study. All of this includes doing word studies, as well as doing cross references. Cross references, yeah. All of this we can help you with in choosing the right ones for the right price, if you're interested. Okay, whether it's tomorrow, next week, next month, whatever. If you're interested, I can help you with that. Don't go bother Pastor Emmanuel. He's got enough stuff to do. I got lots of stuff too, but I can help you guys with that.
And I can go into a bookstore.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Number five, and all of this will also make you more prepared as well as effective to witness, to evangelize as the occasions arise. Okay? If you don't fill yourself with the Word, when it comes to opportunity to share, if you've got no word inside you, what are you going to share? You going to talk about the weather? You going to talk about how cold it is in Canada? Well, what I tell them, if you're not used to the cold by now, you know, Canada, C stands for cold. If you didn't figure that one out yet, you know what? You need to get born again. Okay? I got them laughing. That's good. People tell me I don't laugh enough. I don't know. Maybe I do. Maybe I don't. Whatever. Okay. Number six, we're going to touch all on this tonight, okay? I got lots of verses for this stuff, okay? Number six is make sure that you don't undo or unlearn what you've been taught during Bible study classes. Please, don't go home and watch pornography. Please, don't. It's not a joke, but I mean, I know people do it, but...
Number six again, I'm sorry.
Number six?
Yes.
Make sure that you don't undo or unlearn what you've been taught during Bible study classes. And like I said, don't go home and watch TV or read some stupid book you shouldn't be reading or whatever. Get back into the Word so what that you're learning here is going to get inside of you. Okay? Now, I just mentioned the big P word. Well, I don't laugh. I'm laughing, but it's not funny because it's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's in the church, for crying out loud. I've read enough articles on this since I've been on the internet. I can't believe how bad it is. And I keep meeting people. They're still fighting this stuff. It's like, what the hell's a fight, man? What can you be drawn to pornography for crying out loud? There's nothing beautiful about it. It's ugly.
Ugly.
It's gross.
Yeah.
It's gross.
It is gross.
It's gross.
Yeah.
Okay?
I agree.
Yeah. All right. So, okay.
100%.
Yes. Amen. All right. Key references to all of this. Are we ready there, sister?
All right.
All right. Acts 17:11. Everybody knows this verse, but we're going to look at that. We're going to break it down a little bit. You know what, teacher? We've already covered this here. Pastor Emmanuel's already covered this. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, their functions. And one of the definitions that he gave was a teacher, he points things out. Okay? But not also, they point things out, they break things down. They break them down. They break them down for you. They cause you to see things you've never seen before. Okay? I like to see the truth, though. I don't like to see some... It's like, what? You get that out of that verse? Oh, I think you're wrong, pal. No. I like to see things in the Word that I've never seen before, that it's truth. Okay? So I'm going to do some breaking down tonight. Breakdown. Unpacking. I call that unpacking. I heard a guy saying that before. Well, please unpack that for me. Yeah, sometimes I hear a good teaching or a good preaching, but they don't unpack it for you. It's like, how do I walk in this? You know, oh, you got to walk in more love. Oh, yeah, praise God, yeah. But how? How do I walk in more? You got to walk in more faith. Yeah, but how? Tell me how! Tell me how to walk in more faith. Tell me how to walk more my sonship. Tell me how to walk in more grace. My goodness, don't just tell me you walk in more grace. Tell me how. And make sure that when you do tell me how, it's right. Don't give me a false key. Give me the right keys. Give me the right keys. How to do it. Okay? I don't want to spend the next 10 years trying things that don't work. I want results. God wants results. Am I screaming or am I mad or am I just all worked up? All right. Okay. Acts 17:11. Now these Jews were better disposed and more noble than those in Thessalonica. For they were entirely ready and accepted and welcomed the message concerning the attainment through Christ of eternal salvation in the kingdom of God with the inclination of mind and eagerness searching and examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so or true. Okay? So, let me do a breakdown here for you. Now we're going to get a little bit Greek. Okay? Not too much. First words I want to look at here is with inclination of mind and eagerness. If you don't go into the Word, okay, I'll give you the definitions first. Readiness, eagerness, willingness, promptness, alacrity. I love the word alacrity. These stuffs you can look up in the English dictionaries. I hope you guys got at least an English dictionary at your house. The first thing my mother bought me after I got saved was an English dictionary. I got kicked out of 4 high schools because of the drugs. And I had such an appetite and God wanted to change my vocabulary. I was reading the dictionary more than I was reading the Bible. But God was changing my vocabulary. See? Mm-hmm. And I've been reading dictionaries ever since. Okay? French and English and different kinds. Whatever. Okay? So, with inclination of mind and eagerness. That's the way. If you don't have that for the Word of God, I don't know. It's the Word of God, my goodness. It's not the Word of man. It's the Word of God. It's God's Word. If you don't believe that this is God's Word, then I understand. But I'll tell you, as a believer, are you a believer or you're an unbeliever or you're a doubter, whatever. You know, I'm just saying, the first time God showed me that this was His Word, I just got saved. I've been saved for maybe a year or 2 years. And I had I had Darby translate. I don't suggest a Darby translation. It's good, but anyhow, I don't like Darbyism. But anyhow, I had it with me. I was in my bed, and I was looking at it, and it said Holy Bible, and the Lord quickened the word holy. It just stood right out to me. And I knew the word holy means set apart, right? So the Lord was saying to me, this book is set apart from all other books out there on this planet. That's what He's telling me. That was 20 years ago. 21 years ago. So I knew. He showed me that to prove to me, because there's people out, we got scholars out there, Greek scholars, that are trying to tell us that this is not the inspired Word of God. I got their books at home. To understand where they're coming from so I can refute it, rebut it. You know? Yeah, they're teaching that this is not the inspired Word of God. They're trying to find all kinds of controversies and all kinds of contradictions and stuff like that. No, trust me, this is the Word of God. They're going to find out when they die, unfortunately. You know? And they're going to give an account. You know? So anyhow, the first one is with inclination of mind and eagerness. Number 2 keyword in this verse is searching and examining. Searching and examining. What? The Scriptures. The Scriptures. The word searching, examining, means to examine, to inquire into, to investigate, and to question. Not to question whether it's right or wrong. No. You can question things in a different, from a different perspective. Okay, and that's what they were doing. Okay, but don't forget, these guys were Jews too. The Bereans, they were Jews. You know, we're not Jews. We're born again. Now, these guys were probably born again Jews, but still, and they did not have what we have today. They only had the Old Testament. Don't forget. Okay, we got the two canons today. We got Old and New Testament, and they're not in parchments. You know, they're books. You can go to a bookstore and buy Bibles today. You know, so we got no excuses, right? Last word here, I didn't put a Greek definition to it because it's the word daily. But I put it there to put emphasis because it was daily. Daily. We need to feed on the word daily. 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 What does daily mean? Another word for daily.
Every day.
Every day. Every day. What does the word say in Psalm 1:1, 1:2, and 1:3? 1 to 1:3. Meditate the word what? Day and night. Joshua 1:8. Let not my words depart from your mouth, but meditate upon it. What? Day and night. Perpetual meditation. Perpetual meditation. Okay? I know it's a tough one, but anyhow, we can get there. All right. Next verse or verses is we're going to look at here concerning. Okay, this first part was getting into the word. Okay? So now we're going to look at, from a little bit of a different angle, bless his heart. This youth pastor years ago, I won't mention his name. He's actually in Africa today. He's working among the Muslims. And I'm sure he didn't mean to do it to mislead me, but I showed him some of these verses years ago, and he says, oh, that's only for preachers. I said, oh, is that right? Yeah. And I remember I showed him, preach the word in and out of season, right? We're going to look at that one. And I showed it to him one day. I still remember where I was upstairs at that church where in Oshawa. This is years ago. I got a good memory. And for a guy who's been on drugs for 16 years before he got saved, praise God. And I went up to him. I said, that's his name. And I said, look at that, eh? Preach the word. All right. He said, well, that's for preachers. I said, what do you mean it's for preachers? Yeah, it's just for us. He said, is that right? Really? Huh. Okay. So I didn't believe him though. I went back to work and I preached at him. I preached at all the guys for 13 years after I got saved until God got me to work in 2007. It's going to be 11. It was 11 years this month. That I quit my job for my calling. So anyhow, let's look at a few verses here out of Timothy. Timothy, First and Timothy and Titus, they're called the pastoral epistles. And so let's start here with verse 13. Till I come, devote yourself to public and private reading, to exhortation, preaching, and personal appeals, and to teaching and instilling doctrine. Verse 14. Do not neglect the gift which is in you, that special inward endowment which was directly imparted to you by the Holy Spirit by prophetic utterance when the elders laid their hands upon you at your ordination. Verse 15, practice and cultivate and meditate upon these duties. Throw yourself wholly into them as your ministry so that your progress may be evident to everybody. Verse 16, look well to yourself. Look well to yourself, to your own personality, to your own well-being, your own spiritual well-being, and to your teaching. Persevere in these things. Hold to them, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Okay, powerful. Very powerful. Lots of stuff in here. And I'm leaving a lot of stuff out here tonight. A lot of stuff I'm touching on tonight. There's imperatives in there. They're commandments. They're commands. I'm not even touching on that tonight. All this stuff's going to be on my website.
Okay.
Let's keep going. I got to keep going.
What chapter was that?
First Timothy.
First.
Don't you got the piece of paper?
No, it's okay.
Oh, it's
I'm writing.
Well,
not everybody has.
Okay. All right. It's because we're making a video here. I'll edit. It's not a problem, but it's just more work. Okay. First word we're going to look at in verse 13 is the word devote. Devote. You guys know what it means to devote yourself to something? Yeah. You know what? I was devoted. I'm going to be honest with you. Come on. We've all been sinners, right? We're born in sin. I was devoted to sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I was. Me, it was sex, drugs, and rock and roll 24/7, 365 from the age of 15 till I got saved. And if I never got saved, I'd probably still be in that garbage. That's a put it lightly. Yeah. It was brutal. You know? I was devoted to those things. I was devoted to drugs. I was devoted to the girls. I was devoted to the music. I was devoted. I was as devoted as they get. Okay? Like a preacher said, I was a professional sinner. Yeah, I was a professional sinner. And God set me free from all that in Drummondville in 1994. Yeah. Okay, devote, the word devote means to tend to pay attention to beware, to be cautious, to devote yourself to give full attention, to set a course and keep on it. And keep on it. Set a course and keep on it. Daily, right? Back to the word daily. Next one is found in verse 15. Practice and cultivate and meditate upon. Literally, we got the word practice. Exercise yourself in to study and to ponder. Okay? Next key words in here, in verse 15, I love the Amplified, the Greek's even better. Throw yourself wholly into, wow, throw yourself wholly into what? Into them, what he just said, these duties. Going to back to verse 13 and 14, context please. Okay, throw yourself wholly into them, give thyself wholly, wholeheartedly. Give yourself to the Word. Give yourself to the Word. Who's the Word? He's the Word. So when you give yourself over to His Word, you're giving yourself over to Him. Okay? Luke 8:11 says, the parable of the sower, it says the Word is the seed. The seed is the Word. Christ has given us Himself in seed form. Galatians 4:19 says, Christ be formed in you. When I saw that, 2007, I said, I never saw that before. How can Christ be formed in you when I'm already in Christ? That's when God began to teach me about my soul, spirit, soul, and body. Your soul, I need to be formed in your soul, not in your spirit. You already have my nature, Pierre. Your soul needs renewing. Your soul needs transformation. Your soul needs saving. James 1:21. Okay? Next key word, look well, verse 16, look well to yourself, look well to yourself, hold forth, pay attention, heed, stay, wait. Anyhow, I like the first three there, hold forth, pay attention to yourself. We're going to look at that word self after. Next word here in verse 16 is the word persevere. Persevere. It means to remain, to tarry, to persist in, persevere. When I play music, most of you probably don't even know I play music. Don't try to get me up there and play music, please. I haven't played music in 23 years. When I play music, when I learned my scales, I persevered. I persevered to the place where I was practicing 8 hours a day. Why? Because I want to be like some guitar player from Sweden, Yngwie Malmsteen, great guitar player. But he better get saved because he's going to go to hell. And I'm not laughing about that, but it's just true. I persevered. When I was chasing a girl, I persevered. Everything I put my hands to, I persevered. I did. And I brought that stubbornness in my walk with God. I brought it. I brought it into my walk with God. It's called a stubborn faith. It's called mustard seed faith. Stubborn. A mustard seed is real. It's a stubborn seed. It'll grow anywhere. If you give it some time, it'll grow anywhere. It'll grow among rocks. Yeah, that's why Jesus talks about the word, or as a seed of mustard. There's a reason why he used the word mustard seed. Why didn't he use apple seed, whatever? You know, no, mustard seed, a mustard seed. Okay? Mustard seeds are very powerful if they're sown. So God has given us his word as a seed. So if you don't sow the word, guess what? You'll never have a harvest of His Word. Never. Ever, ever, ever. If you keep looking at this Bible and you never get into it, and I mean really get into it, you know what? That Word's not going to get inside of you. And a lot of the problems that we have in our lives, and I'm still dealing with some things, that's why I do the fasting and stuff like that. Strongholds. The reason why we're struggling with sin is because the Word's not inside of us. And I'm not going to get into that tonight. Okay? This is about studying. So I can't get off. Last word here, the word yourself. The word yourself is used at least three times in these verses. Three times. Yourself. 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 Looking to yourself. Taking care of yourself spiritually. Taking your walk with God, ultimately, making up, you take the ownership of your life. I'm not saying to discard church. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, besides being part of a local assembly, taking spiritual inventory of yourself. Not always depending on pastors and leaders and your friends and all. There's a place for that. There is a place for that. But you know what? Quit leaning on everybody else. Start leaning on the one who's inside of you. Because he's there 24/7, 365. He's there to help us. But he needs his word. I can't get into that tonight. Yourself. Relating to yourself as you being the action, the attention back to on yourself. Usually, when you see the word yourself in the Bible, if you look it up in the Greek, it's in the middle voice. Middle voice, anything in a middle voice, a verb in the middle voice, meaning you do it for yourself. So when the word says meditate the word day and night, and if it's in middle voice, it means you meditate the word for yourself day and night. Nobody can meditate the word for you. Nobody. Nobody can sow the word for you. Nobody. Nobody. You have to do that. Okay? We're okay for now? We're almost done. Okay. Next one is 2 Timothy 1, 13 to 14. Verse 13. Hold fast and follow the pattern of wholesome and sound teaching which you have heard from me, Paul. He's talking to Timothy, but it's not just for pastors, not just for leaders. It's for all of us. It is. It really is. In all the faith, the love, which are for us in Christ. 14. Guard and keep with the greatest care the precious and excellently adapted truth which has been entrusted to you by the help, of the Holy Spirit who makes his home in each one of us. Okay? First key word, verse 13. Hold fast and follow. Like I said, most of these words in the Greek, they're imperatives. What's an imperative? It's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. You know, I hear a lot of preachers saying this. The Bible's not full of do's and don'ts. You know what? The Bible is full of do's and don'ts. The Bible says don't fornicate, don't do this, don't do that. The Bible says do this, do that. The Bible is full of do's and don'ts. The do's and don'ts that we don't want to get into are religious do's and don'ts. Okay? But the Bible is full. I have done a study on this. And one of these days, the Bible is full of do's and don'ts. Okay? And we need to know what they say about them so that we can give ourselves over to them. Okay? We want to please God, don't we?
Amen.
Well, don't we?
Yep.
Amen. Yeah. And I want to walk in victory.
Amen.
Jesus died so we can walk in victory.
That's right. Yeah.
Jesus did not die and go through all that he went through before the cross, at the cross. After the cross was a little bit better, he rose. But after the cross, he went to hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That was worse than the crucifixion, I think. Going to hell when he's done nothing? He was deity before he came as a man? Goes to hell for 3 days and night on my behalf so I don't have to go to hell? Yeah, okay. Alright, first word here is have. Oh, I'm sorry, hold on. Hold fast and follow literally just means to hold on to something or to possess something. Okay? Keep that in context of that verse. Also, the next key word is guard and keep with the greatest care. Concerning what? The truth, right? The truth means to protect, to be on your guard, to keep, and to observe. There's more. I wasn't going to get into it because I said this thing is going to go way too long. I get going sometimes and okay, whoa, stop. Next verse, 2 Timothy 2:15. This is one of the most famous verses. Study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God, not to man, but to God. Yet we're accountable to man. We are accountable to one another because we're a body. And we have leaders. We're accountable. But ultimately, we're accountable to him. Because when you die, you're not going to give an account to a leader. You're going to give an account to the leader of all leaders, the head of the church. Okay? That's the judgment seat of Christ. Hopefully I'll be able to do that teaching, but anyhow. So we'll do that. We'll talk about that later. Approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing, accurately dividing, rightly handling, and skillfully teaching the word of truth. I would love to teach on that tonight, but there's no place for that. But I'm going to look at the word study and be eager to do your utmost. Usually, most preachers, to study the word, they use this verse because it's got the word study, but that word does not mean study as in studying the word. It doesn't. But I still use it for that because it's in context with rightly dividing the word. So if you can rightly divide the word, you can wrongly divide the word. Okay? And we've got lots of that out there. Taking verses out of context, teaching things you shouldn't be teaching. Is that, okay, that's what it says, but is that what it mean? You know, so rightly dividing, but study, meaning be swift, go fast and speedy, to move speedily by showing full diligence, fully applying oneself, wow, acting fervently, speedy commitment to accomplish all that God assigns. Huh? What do you think? What would happen if we start meditating these verses? What would happen? You know what? They'd get on the inside of you. And you know what happened after? You'd start doing them. You'd have a desire to do them. What would happen then? I'll tell you. We'd have a whole different ball game in the church today. We'd have a whole... Oh, I don't want to get into that. I can't. God's sovereignty. Oh, don't get me going on that. Please don't. No. My goodness. God's in control. I read a guy, oh my God, I got in this big debate on Facebook. Yeah, I said, oh my God, what did I get myself into this? They actually said I wasn't saved. They said God ordained Adam to fall. I said, oh my goodness, I could have strangled a guy. He's in the state somewhere. This is Reformed faith. You came out of the Reformed faith. You got free from that, right? You don't believe that God ordained Adam to fall, do you? Okay. I got the books at home on this stuff. I used to believe that years ago. When I was into the Puritans and all that, and whew, I got in trouble the other day, but I'll tell you, I got the answer. Because I pray in tongues, they don't believe in tongues. They're cessationists. Okay, second last verse. 1 Peter 3:15. This 1 Peter 3:15 goes back to witnessing. Goes back to witnessing, okay? I just mentioned about that. You'll have something to offer, opportunity to evangelize and stuff like that when the occasion arises. 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, set Christ apart as holy and acknowledge Him as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that is in you, but do it courteously and respectfully. I'm still working on that last part. I'm not too good on that. I'm just a little bit too much. Anyhow, let's look at the word here. First of all, always, always, always. Going back to what I said, daily. Always, right? It's basically synonymous with daily. Is it? Is it? All the time. 24 hours? It's more than daily. Daily means all the time, though. Okay, you're just trying to create a little bit of a... That's okay, I like it. Always, meaning unceasingly. Perpetually. Perpetually. On every occasion. What? Be ready to give an account. A logical defense, sorry. Okay? So we got the word always, now we got the word be ready. Always be ready means prepared, made ready, fitness, adjusted, readiness. Okay? For what? For what, Paul? To give a logical defense. It's the word apologia. Not to become, it's called apologetics. And I like more polemics than apologetics, because polemics has more of a... Yeah, I love polemics. I'm going to get into that one day. I know God's going to open up doors for that. Anyhow, but apologetics is part of polemics. And so you got the word apologia. Not to be to apologize for what you believe. Well, I'm sorry, I believe in Jesus. Well, you know, what can I do? You know, no. It means to answer for oneself. Clearing of self, making a defense for what you believe. So when somebody says, I don't believe in what you believe, then tell them why you believe what you believe. Tell them what happened to you. Tell them you're going to hell. Tell them you're a sin. Tell them this and tell them that. Tell them what happened to you. How you got born again. Explain what happened at the cross. Explain when Jesus was crucified, you were crucified. We were crucified. When He raised, we were raised up. When He ascended, we ascended with Him. We're seated with Him. Positionally. You got to receive that. We got to be ready to give an answer. Most translations. But I like the Amplified here. To give a logical defense. Okay? So this is all part of why we need to study the Word at home. To do our homework. What I'm teaching on here is homework. Work at home. Well, I just came home from work. Well, good for you. Go get a nap. And then get into the Word. I did that for years. I work construction. I drywall. I worked downtown Toronto. I worked in Barrie. I worked in Orillia. Prayed in tongues there, back, and even there, and irritated all of them. Some of them, they kind of liked me. And I would come home, and I tried to go into prayer. After praying all day, for crying out, working, putting up drywall, tiles, for 13 years after I got saved, 10 years before I got saved. And then I found I'd fall asleep when I was praying. I'd just nod off. I'd take a shower, I'd nod off. So I felt like the Lord one day, go home, take a shower, have a nap. Hey, what a great idea. So I did. I go have a nap, close my eyes. A lot of times I didn't sleep. I just knocked the sleep off of me. Just, you know, the exhaustion, you know. And then I have a meal. I was good for 2 hours after that, for praying after that and get into the Word. I did that for years, man. That was my life. I got no friends. Trust me. Besides here, I got no friends. Except for some in Africa now. I had no friends. My friend is Jesus. Seriously. He is. The Lord told me one day, He says, you're a friend of truth. I said, oh my goodness. I am. I love truth. I love truth. Why? Because the truth will make me free. I want to walk in freedom. I lived in bondage for years, man. Even after I got saved, I was in bondage to certain things. Not sin. I mean, not sexual sin or anything like that. But just other stuff. Anger and getting mad at my mom and just my dad and just blowing up and overreacting and reacting and, you know, just being nasty. The old man. Okay? I'm just being transparent here. Okay? Don't use it against me, please.
No.
Don't write into your little black book. Please,
no.
Don't. All right. Mark 4:19. This is so huge. Going back to what I said, that last, what was it, number 6, Letitia? Are you following or are you just playing video games back there? What are you doing? Okay, good. Who's winning? Jesus or you? Mark. Okay, verse 6. Make sure that you don't undo what you've learned. Okay, this is it. Okay? This is a big one here. I remember I saw this quite a few years ago when he got into the parables of the sower. Sow the word. Let's read it here. Verse 19. Then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in. Creep in where? In the soul. Yes. And choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. Okay? This word choke and suffocate literally means to strangle completely. E.W. Bullinger, he's got a great Bible study. I don't agree with a quarter of what he teaches in there. But he's got some great stuff in the Greek and Hebrew. And he says to strangle, to kill. And that's exactly what the devil came to do. To steal, kill, and destroy. And if he can't get you one way, he's going to try to get you another way. And if he can't get you that way, he's going to try to get you another way. And if he, you know what, he's got all kinds of ways up his sleeves. He's sneaky, dirty. I can use some other word, but I don't. Anyhow, I'm saved now, so anyhow. I hate him. Okay? To strangle completely, literally to drown, or figuratively to crowd, to choke, to throng. So, my final thought on this You get into the Word, let's say, an hour a day. I hope you do 10 hours a day. If you do 1 hour a day, and then after you've done your 1 hour, you go watch TV for 3 hours, guess what? Most probably, you've choked the Word. And then 10 years, 20 years, you're wondering, what the hell's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? How come I'm not growing? Well, if you're not growing, it's because the Word's not growing on the inside of you. That's the key to growth. Ultimately, it's the Word. Get the Word as a seed, grow inside of you, and you're going to grow. You're going to grow in ways. You're going to outgrow everybody around you that's not sowing the Word. You are. You're going to... Isn't there a law of sowing and reaping out there? Is there? Is it still around?
Yeah.
Of course it is. So, the law of sowing and reaping applies to a lot of things. Making bad decisions, guess what? There's consequences. Sowing the Word of man, there's consequences. You're going to reap the Word of man. You sow wrong doctrine, guess what? You're going to reap wrong doctrine. You're going to reap wrong believing. But if you sow the Word of God in right context, rightly dividing the Word of truth, guess what? There's consequences.
Yes.
You're going to reap the benefits. And I got one word for that. Victory. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you very much for your time.